that the land may be protected from death and sickness, famine and war, and may eventually become capable of standing alone. It will never stand alone, but the idea is a pretty one, and men are willing to die for it. And yearly, the work of pushing and coaxing and scolding and petting the country into good living goes forward. If an advance be made, all credit is given to the native, while the Englishmen stand back and wipe their foreheads. If a failure occurs, the Englishmen step forward and take the blame. Overmuch tenderness of this kind has bred a strong belief among many natives that the native is capable of administering the country, and many devout Englishmen believe this also, because the theory is stated in beautiful English with all the latest political colour. There be other men who, though uneducated, see visions and dream dreams, and they, too, hope to administer the country in their own way, that is to say, with a garnish of red sauce. Such men must exist among 200 million people, and if they are not attended to, may cause trouble and even break the great idol called Pax Britannic, which, as the newspapers say, lives between Peshawar and Cape Comorin. Were the day of doom to dawn tomorrow, you would find the supreme government taking measures to allay popular excitement and putting guards upon the graveyards that the dead might troop forth orderly. The youngest civilian would arrest Gabriel on his own responsibility.